Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you for the work you do among us, Lord. Whenever we gather as your people, we gather around the table of the bread and the blood, and we're reminded of your great work for us, Lord. And we gather as your people. There is a healing, there is a deliverance, there is an encouragement that takes place, Lord. Even in your word, as for 2,000 years, as the church has gathered around the apostolic message of your scripture, Lord, there's come instruction, encouragement, rebuke, and the church has been built up. So thank you, Lord, for just a wonderful time of worship. While we remain standing for just a moment, this weekend there are 30 of our teenagers away on the Alpha Holy Spirit weekend. And I just think it's a wonderful time for us to join in a prayer. Because who knows who God's anointing is going to come upon in that group, and all of them, but specifically the young evangelists of the future, young prophets of the future, young apostles of the future, teachers and pastors and all kinds of gifts that the body of Christ needs, entrepreneurs, businessmen, great husbands and wives. But it's not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit. The anointing, the leading, the guidance, the empowering. So Lord, we lift up those young people this weekend, and we pray for a Pentecostal weekend upon them. We pray that you will surprise them with signs, wonders, and miracles. And as they hear the word of your Holy Spirit, as they incubate, and as they sit under the ministry around the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, that their hearts will be gripped, that their minds will be changed. And above all, we pray for a mighty outpouring from heaven upon them, a mighty anointing to come upon them and set apart men and women for the purpose that you have called them to. And out of this group will come the wonderful future leaders that our city and our nation needs. Our wonderful husbands that serve Christ wholeheartedly, and wives who are filled with the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and into their schools will flow revival, and a gospel message, a gospel witness will permeate into the schools and the colleges and the homes of this community, and the youth will never be the same again. Come on, church, if you agree with me this morning, thank you, Lord. Mighty outpouring, mighty anointing, mighty baptism of power and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. And could you take your seat on that request? Just want to welcome you again. I know July holidays, a lot of folk are away, but it's great to be together with people who do put this time aside. It's a biblical thing for the church to meet together once a week to express corporate worship and break bread together and have the word of God through the gifts. Wasn't that a great time this morning of just hearing that God's blood has set us free? God the man, Jesus Christ. Wow. And to experience that and to walk into that. Jesus is still baptizing in the Holy Spirit. When he was on earth, in a real sense, Jesus was at one place at one time. But as he anointed on the day of Pentecost, he multiplied himself and then again by 3,000, and then again by 5,000. And although the new converts that were being baptized into the body of Jesus, having him in them and them in him, still needed their minds renewed to what had actually happened at the cross, potentially there were tens of thousands of the expression of Jesus on the earth. And last week, who was here last week when Mark Elwood shared a message around Mission Possible, talking about Jesus who called and sent out. And I want to carry on a little bit along that vein with a different title. If I did have a title, it would be Mission Accomplished. But let's read this. Calling the 12 to him, he said to them, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. They went out and preached that the people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And now we see a little while later, it says that these same apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him, say reported to him, all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And then the book of Luke, he sends out a further 72 others. This is over and above the 12 he'd already sent out. And sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, I love this, and we should have this underlined in our Bibles if we underline something. The harvest is plentiful. Say that with me. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So that is a legitimate prayer that we should be praying regularly. And then a little while later in that same chapter, the 72 returned with joy. Say joy. You know, we don't have to return looking like we've been baptized in vinegar. We can return with joy. They returned with joy and saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you the authority. Jesus must have been so proud that after these years of spending time with them, teaching them, training them, equipping them, now sending them out, he saw the authority that he'd given them being authorized and being implemented. He saw Satan fall like lightning. I've given you authority to trample on snakes, scorpions, and to overcome the power of the enemy, which is clearly figurative speech around demonic forces and powers. I don't encourage you to go pick up a scorpion literally this afternoon unless you've heard it clearly, audibly from God. All the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits are submitting to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Isn't it wonderful? And Jesus, his whole business was about selecting a group of men, mostly who were misfits and wouldn't have been at the five-star club invitation night. And he gathers these men around him. He pours his life into them. And now he delegates by sending them on this mission. Wherever he was going to go. Remember, he was only at one place at one time. The Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out into everybody. But they went to go and prepare. And in the process, he was training them for the great revival that was going to happen soon after his death, burial, and resurrection, when he appeared to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit falls upon them. They baptize. The church starts growing. The church multiplies. The church has persecution. And around about chapter 13, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So there's a legitimate sending off that happens in the life of a local church. That the church is also partly involved in. Short-term trips, long-term trips. I've also found out this week that There's a long-term trip coming up for Jono and Candy back to Thailand or Middle East somewhere. And God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And whether it's 3 months or 6 months or 12 months, it's always wonderful you come back and you got a home. And we'll hear about the good things God did. There's a people being led and sent off, not maybe across to the ends of the earth, but maybe into Judea and our Samaria, or in the city where we live. You know, every day you get up and go to work, you're in the mission field. You don't have to be necessarily in Thailand or Timbuktu or Nairobi to be in the mission field. You can be right here in Durban in the mission field. When you walk out that door, in fact, you're in the mission field. That same anointing of the Holy Spirit we need, wherever we are, wherever we live. There's five testimonies to the person of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. We all carry with us, whether we like it or not, know it or not, we all carry within us, if you're a born-again Christian, you have the light of Christ inside of you. And wherever you go, whatever you say, whatever you do, even if you think you're doing your worst, there's a light inside of you that's still shining. And people know there's a difference between light and darkness. And only through by being born again, receiving the Holy Spirit, these lives are changed. Our lives are changed. And now after Paul and Barnabas do this long circle around in their first missionary journey, in chapter 14, verse 26, it says, from Italia they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed, hands laid on them, sent off by the grace of God for the work they had now completed. Some things come to an end. Some seasons of ministry finish. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the apostles. So here we see mission accomplished. Jesus equips, he trains, he imparts himself, he sends out. They come back after the work is finished with joy. We see in the book of Acts, now Jesus is not just limited to one place. He's now in thousands of believers, and specifically those he has called and anointed as apostles and prophets, pastors and teachers, what we call the fivefold ministry. Some people call it the full-time. It can be full-time, bivocational, part-time, whatever. There are certain giftings that Jesus puts in the body that go out. And we've had wonderful privilege over the last couple of years in the life of this church to be in partnership with teams going in and out of Highway. And you are part of it. You are part of it. When you see these pictures of people being baptized, when you see these pictures of marriage counseling, when you see these pictures of alphas and youth alphas and social events, that's what you're part of. That's why we keep putting them up, because even though you may miss a few Sundays because of work commitments or other problems or challenges or just personal decisions, you need to know this is what you're part of. Not what some other elect, select, chosen, frozen are doing, but what we are doing. And over the past couple of years, we've had time with many pastors in the KZN area, Matadeni, Osiswene, Manguzi, where we, over the last 5-6 years, since the early Grace conferences we were having, and guys were coming along and loving the message of grace, loving the freedom that the gospel brings, relationships have been ongoing, and there have been a few trips a year to go and rekindle and reestablish these relationships in a similar way that Paul and Barnabas went to go and encourage those churches. And you've met some of them. Remember last year we had Bethel preacher, tall African regal statesman who just loves the message of the gospel and has got such a great understanding of it. And then there's Wilson in Newcastle, outlying areas, Matadeni, influential men, class in Manguzi, influential men overseeing fraternities with numbers of pastors who keep inviting us in to come and minister and asking good questions around this wonderful gospel message. And we've had the privilege over the past few years to keep working into those relationships. And we were chatting amongst the pastors here in Durban about maybe going a little bit further and going beyond the Manguzi border into Mozambique. And we're waiting for the right opportunity. And like Jesus said to his disciples once, look for the man of peace. Look for the person who opens a door. And such a person came our way in the form of a businessman friend of mine who said, look, I've got this hotel in Ponta Malangan. If ever a group of pastors want to come over, you can come and stay there. And you won't have to pay. And I will set you up with meetings with the local pastors in the area. And there's a facility there that if you want to come have meetings, or even later, you can have meetings. It's available to you. So when God gives that kind of open door, you then take it to prayer. And you meet with some of the pastors, some of the leaders. You discuss it, and you get a sense that this is how the Holy Spirit's leading. You see, you've got to know how the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. You've got to ask Him, not just for one open door, or one little scripture, or one little inclination, or one dream. You've got to ask Him to put a couple of those in a line, a prophetic urge, a open door, a confirmation, so that the lights on the runway line up. And when you land your aeroplane, you're not just landing on one light, because you could come in from any direction. But you do need to know how God's leading you in mission. So all I'm doing this morning is just briefly acquainting you with some of our recent trips, the kind of the why, the who, the what, the where. So the what we are about in our trips is really two things. It's to keep on talking about this wonderful good news about what Jesus did and not based on what we are and do. Religion puts all the emphasis, and there's so much religion in Africa and in the Pentecostal movement and its denominational Christianity in Africa. There's so much traditional man-centered gospel, you could sink 100 Titanics with it. And to go in with a message of that focuses around what Jesus accomplished at the cross, what grace really is in Christ, is a transformational message that the churches love and are encouraged by. That's the first thing. The second thing, the disciples came back, they tried to have some rest. And people gathered, and Jesus said, you feed them. There's a practical outworking of the gospel. So we call that our business as mission. And we've partnered and linked up with several churches in the area that have a conference once a year where, no, these pictures shouldn't be coming up yet. I don't know why, what's happened. You've kind of ruined my whole plot. Pictures, I bind you, pictures, in Jesus' name. Anyway, while we're on, no, let's turn that off, please, because I want to come back to those. So the second part of it is the business's mission, where we, once a year, have people come in from all over the world who are specialized and specialists in farming in a rural context as small farming, subsistence farmers, but also how to grow plants using aquaponics with water and fish and a circulation of the fish eating what the plants drop off, but then the fish producing the nutrients in the water and produces both fish multiplying, so you get so many hundred fish a month, and you get vegetables that grow at three times the speed and more healthy than any other. Then there's baking methods. There are tree growing methods. It's becoming big now, trees, and amongst trees, honey hives. And there's a number of these models that have been specialized and equipped. And we're very blessed right here in Natal to have a farmer up in Monzi, Keith McLaren, some of you know him, who has been experimenting for a few years now in these various models. And when on our recent trip, I went there and had a look at how some of these are working. You know how excited the pastors get? When you tell them and you show them pictures and proof of where a certain square meterage produced for a subsistence farmer, say, 10 bags a season, where it can produce 30, 40, 50 bags a season. Where you go to pastors and who are overseeing subsistence farmers who are depending on working their land, how to get a chicken egg industry sustaining itself and producing high quality compost to then put back into farming God's way. Keith on the farm in Monzi shows you they did an experiment. They did one patch conventional Africa farming and one patch what they is known as God's way of farming. And he shows a picture at the end of the season where the vegetables are this high, the corn is this high, and the corn is this high. You want to see pastors get excited. You know why they get excited? Because they love their people. And their people need to come into freedom of gospel. But their people also need to learn how to be self-sustained and be prosperous. And what a great testimony that is for the community when the people in the church are producing the best stuff faster than anyone else and are learning to be generous with their community. What a great testimony. I tell you, when you start getting onto this topic, we explain to the guys that once a year we have a conference where we showcase various of these models that are working around the world and what could be tailored to Africa specifically. The guys get so excited about that. You've got to go back to the gospel to make sure you keep the balance. But when people are hungry, you can't just preach to them. And the answer isn't for everyone to run to the cities. The answers are out in the countries where 90% of people live in the world still. Rural, agrarian, subsistence living. So that's the what we take when we go. The finished work of the cross, teaching it over and over and over. On this last trip we did, one of the pastors asked such a good question. He said, okay, you pastors are going to come spend time with us. There's something we need understanding with. We love grace. We love the finished work of the cross. But how do we interpret the Gospels? Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John took place before the new covenant started. In the past, when we preached on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we just took them at face value and said whatever it said. So we nearly had people going around with stumps and one eye in their heads, to take an extreme. But we can't throw out everything that Jesus taught, because that's Jesus. And he came to teach on the kingdom. And everything about the kingdom is important. And he came to demonstrate a life to the Father. And that everything is so important. But there was a whole lot he said that was for the benefit of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the wooden seas, the couldn't seas, and all the miserable seas. That we can't just take at face value and pluck it out and get up on Sunday and say, yeah, and woe to you, you sinners, the Lord's judgment is on you. And base it on a verse in Luke 4 without understanding how to interpret. So it's a great question. And we can go into that environment. We met with about 30 pastors and we could discuss and talk about it. We're not wanting to throw out the baby with the bathwater. We're just wanting to preach the scripture in its historical covenant context. And these pastors are bright. They're theologically astute. They probably have more theological training than most of the pastors in the previous movements we've come out of. Hungry, love God's word, honor God's word. And along the way, we also have a lot of surprises. So we decided we're going into Mozambique. Who's been to Mozambique? Couple of us. And my first trip. I wasn't prepared for the roads, and I'm never going to complain about potholes ever again. Because once you leave the tar roads at the border, you're at the mercy of sea sand roads for the next 20 kilometers. But it was a whole new experience. God had given us a man of peace with an accommodation, a place to stay, and to coordinate pastors' meeting. Some of the African pastors who came with us already had relationship with some pastors in Ponta Malangan, Ponta Dora, so they'd ready. And in Africa, as you know, it's difficult to set up a Skype conference. It doesn't work like that. If you don't work like that, go to Holland, go to Belgium, go to, okay, wherever. Sandton. In Africa, it's Africa. So you flow with Africa. Everything's word of mouth. So when are we going to have the meeting? I don't know. When you get here, let's talk about it. Who's going to come to the meeting? We don't know. When you get here, we'll go out and speak to people. Everything is just like, man, it's casual. But it worked so beautifully. We had meetings with groups of pastors and spoke to them about the gospel, which we love, and spoke to them about BAM, that just gets their eyes twinkling. We had some great surprises, even at the border gate. We're at the border gate filling out forms, and one of the senior, I think he was a captain, lots of silver stars on his shoulder, senior guy, sitting behind a desk. He hears us talking and mentioning we pastors going on a mission. So he gets up, very stern face, comes over, says, sorry, these gentlemen, can you please come to the back at the office? We follow him through. Now what have we done? Why didn't we just say we're fishing? You know, why didn't we say we're caravanning like everybody else? Now we got a mission. Now we got to go and explain. We go through the office and into the back, and he stands out there. He looks at the guy and says, you know, I have to work every Sunday, and I'm so desperate for a church service. Can we have one right now? So one of the pastors says, yeah, we're going to sing a song we know, and then you sing a song you know. So he stood there singing and worshiping a song he knows in Portuguese, and then one of our guys sang a song and prayed for him. Little surprises along the road that you can't prepare for. Get to the hotel, meet with other pastors. They're ready setting up the first Businesses Missions Conference to happen, which opens the door then to preach the gospel, because the two go hand in hand. We had an opportunity. One of the pastors said, please come to our church on Sunday. So there we go, trekking through the bush, kilometers, sandy roads, not nursing a soul, end up at literally a reed building. Not reed building, I'm talking like a reed building, okay? Reeds and steel abiyas on the roof. So proud of his church. See, they don't compare themselves to other people. They're comparing themselves to the guy who doesn't even have land yet. Or the guy that doesn't even have reeds, you know. And there was a long drop. So you're safe, woman, if you were to come on the mission trip. There's a long drop with a reed barrier around it. Safe as... So we get in. First thing he does, he gets up, he says, I'm very sorry. I have to apologize to the congregation. These guys have to be gone by 11 o'clock, so we can only have a two-hour service this morning. But don't worry, next week we'll be back to our normal church. But they have to leave. And I'm sitting there thinking, you're apologizing for only having a two-hour service. Back home, they'll string me up and set me on fire. So he's standing there by this reed church. Not a soul except the pastor who came on his little motorbike to the hotel, picked us up, and we followed him. Very well-dressed, smart, big smile, so proud. And nobody there. And we're standing. And then in the distance, you start hearing singing. Singing, singing. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Obrigado, obrigado, Jesus. Jesus, obrigado. Bom noi, obrigado. So where is that coming from? Now people are coming to church now. And they come from all directions. On the back of buckies, walking, gathering around, full into this reed hut. And we had church. Only a two-hour service. And all we did was have the gifts of the Spirit operating and ministering. And someone had a song, someone had a prophetic word, someone had a word of knowledge, someone had a teaching. One lady came in, she'd been racked in pain the whole week, and she's eyes were bloodshot, she was in so much pain, prayed for it. At the end of the service, she came dancing over to us saying, first time I'm feeling I don't have any pain in my body, it's so wonderful, I feel so free. Another man, never seen in his life, came over, he says, my sight hasn't been totally restored, but I'm seeing little flickers of light. I don't know what it is, but I'm seeing lots of little flickers of light. And I thought, you know what, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Celebrate the little things. Celebrate when God just provides 5 fish and then give thanks and see what he can do. And as we go through this, one thing is for sure, we're not under the law of the 10 commandments, but we always need to obey the 11th commandment. Thou shalt have fun. So we were having a lot of fun sitting around a campfire, speaking to pastors, getting to one of the places we were staying in the chalets, and one of the leaders mentioning that there's an 8-foot python that's made its home in the roof of this unit. You should have seen the eyeballs of this family that were allocated to that. So this is a little bit of a where we went, what we did, and again to reiterate that every gift is needed in the body of Christ. Your gift is needed. Whether it's driving, cooking, playing a musical instrument, whether it's praying, whether it's teaching. So we remember Bethwell. He preached a year ago. Do you remember him? Elegant statesman, sitting around the fire, talking to pastors. There's Keith, giving his best shot on business's mission. It's his passion. That's the church that Class is building. He's about 80% through now. It's a beautiful facility. They've built for faith from the foundations. We've watched it go up over the last couple of years. And there we go. Welcome, Cozy Bay, border crossing, over into the border of Mozambique. And then you drive through the most fascinating, amazing little villages and see some very friendly people. And there's some houses that are post-war houses that are monuments. They're not allowed to be demolished. They're there to remind the country of what happens when we go to civil war and the misery and the pain. And roads, as I say, we get to the hotel, really nice, comfortable accommodation. We were very blessed there to have a barbecue out. And the sun, there, a bunch of us having a meal together. What a good-looking crew of guys. Yeah, my re-church I was telling you about. Come on. Unexpected moments. I think there's somewhere here there's going to be a video. I don't know if it's this one. There's a photo from a distance. Is it that one? Maybe not. There they're standing outside welcoming. And there we're inside worshiping and standing on the hotel deck. I mean, that's really suffering for Jesus, eh? On the hotel deck, looking out across the East Coast Ocean. It was absolutely beautiful speaking to pastors. And this is our friend at the border gate. Captain John Pierre was his name. Standing there around the back having our own little church service while we prayed for him. And he says, please, if ever you come through Mozambique again, ask for me so we can go and have a service at the back of the conference center. And there we made our trip home. So I'm sharing all this with you. Jesus equipped, trained, and then sent. They came back full of joy. They came back and needed some rest. They came back ready to take it to the next level and feed hungry people. They came back and told the church and gathered the church and encouraged the church that the door of opportunities are opening. And I'm here to tell you that you've got a mission right where you are. Right where you live. When you walk out that door in the morning, Holy Spirit, where are you leading me? You want to give your life purpose and meaning. Live in an experience of there's a mission required, there's a mission that's possible, and there's a mission that can be accomplished. And every time you hear of a team going out from this church, whenever you see an altar call and people standing up here, whenever you hear of a fun family activity, whether it's a play or a barnyard or social, know that you are part of a church that has a mission. A mission to preach the gospel, to build a community, and to see God's kingdom invade on earth as it is in heaven. Can I pray for you? Let's stand up together. Jesus, you said you're building your church. You said for us to seek your kingdom And even Lord, as Jonty and Candace are, Lord, going back into an Asian context, we just thank you for your protection, your guidance, your leading in their lives. We thank you, Lord, for every other person gathered here this morning. When they walk out here, whether it's in Pinetown, Westville, Hillcrest, at a hospital, in a school, in a business, at home as a mother, you have sent us on a mission. Holy Spirit, would you lead us? Holy Spirit, would you guide us? Holy Spirit, would you give us a sense of great meaning and purpose? Because you want to see the lost come to Jesus. When there's a mission outreach again, maybe it's going to be you next time that's going to volunteer to go along. Maybe when you hear about the next outreach into Manguzi or Mozambique or Osasweni, you're going to say, I can be part of that. When you hear there's a business's mission conference, let me go and be equipped. When you hear there's Steve Lungu coming, how many people do I know I could invite to hear a world-changing testimony? You see, my friend, you are on a mission. I'm on a mission. And that mission is possible, and that mission can be accomplished. In Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. God bless you.